This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and we will be talking about coyotes and wolves later in the show. I should give you another howl, oh, because that's what we'll be talking about. We'll also be talking about celebrities. I'm Deb Wolf, and I bring you Animal Party on Pet Life Radio every week, and there's been a lot in the news, a lot. Oh my goodness. Can a person who admits to killing dogs actually become vice president of the United States? We'll talk about that and a whole bunch of things. But first, I want to start with Texas. So, oh, poor Texas. It's always, you know, I always wanted to visit Austin, and I've always thought it would be lovely to live in Texas. And every time I used to go to Florida, where my mom lived, from Vancouver, British Columbia, which is like crossing North America, we would have to stop in Texas at an airport, me and my kids, and you'd look out and it would be just beautiful, you know? So I always thought about maybe such a sunny, lovely place, but they do have natural disasters. A lot of them, it seems like, and a lot of lightning and thunderstorms, and the planes were often not able to land or leave due to these kinds of things. And right now they've got flood. So Texas has been flooded. As of yesterday, 224 people had been rescued from flood. Like, I don't mean evacuated. I mean, like, helicopter, boat, that kind of daring rescue by first responders. And 153 pets were rescued as of yesterday that way. So I want to just say thank you to the first responders who are willing to rescue pets. And I also want to say it's a good time to talk about some safety tips and things you need to know. But this is something I took when I was watching CNN, and I was watching the report on the flood, and they had Deputy Daryl Bailey on. And one thing he said, which was really interesting, they were showing like a Labrador retriever swimming and being grabbed and rescued. And they had just rescued a man who'd been isolated by the flood, so completely surrounded by water with his three dogs. So they rescued him and one dog, and then they came back for the other two dogs who were swimming. And okay, everybody's okay. So Deputy Daryl Bailey said that it's not just the flood or the water that you have to be afraid of, but what's in the water. And he gave a few examples, including snakes. So they have Hurricane Harvey level floods there in Texas right now. Yeah, I just want to make sure people understand, you know, when you buy a kennel for your puppy and then your puppy doesn't need it anymore, and maybe he doesn't even use it anymore, or maybe he wishes he could. But anyway, you put it away or you sell it or you give it to somebody else who has a puppy. Okay, so now what? You're in a flood, you're in a fire, you're evacuated, you're going to a shelter, your dog's thrown in a car or a van or a truck of somebody else maybe. And then maybe he's good for that, but then he gets to a shelter where it's overcrowded and all the animals are stressed. And some of them aren't so nice, and some of them are panicking. Maybe some of them are sick, who knows? The staff is overworked, the people probably volunteers. The last thing they need is one more pet without a cage. What they need is a cage. And not only that, if you have your cage with you, you might be able to squeak in under the rules and get your dog into a shelter for humans. You might not even have to leave your pet somewhere else. So those kennels, the plastic kind that you can fly with because they're strong enough to stack without hurting your animal inside, those are the ones you want. You don't want to buy something that's weak or just a cage where he can get hurt or exposed to the sun or whatever. You want the kind you can travel in. One good make is V-A-R-I, Vari, but there's lots of good makes. But it should say on the tag, certified for air travel. And if you're buying used, just make sure you pick a brand that's certified for air travel. Make sure you pick a kennel that's big enough for your dog to sit without his head rubbing the top, lie down without his paws touching either end, and turn around. So that's what you need. Now, in a shelter situation, evacuation situation, he may be in there a while and he may need food and water put in there. And so you can't go too small, but you need a crate for every dog you have. So if you have four dogs, you need four crates. Now, that's a lot of storage. I understand. You might want to leave one or two set up with the door open or no door at all, so they're always used to going in there when they feel like it. Could be in the backyard or shed or in an area the dogs like to be in. I always have a couple in my house, and I find when a dog really wants a deep sleep, they go in there. You know, and then it's not a nasty place. It's not the no-no place or the punishment place. It's a place where sometimes I throw treats and sometimes I throw toys, and they've got some bedding in there and they kind of like it. So if I had to evacuate and stick them in there, the cage itself wouldn't make them panic. It would be a safety place. And that's really what you want, you know. But these kind of crates come apart. They come apart in half. They have different kinds of, depending on the brand you buy, some clip, some screw to come together and come apart. But whatever, they come apart really easily. And you can put the door between the two layers so they break away in half and they fit inside themselves. So what you end up with is basically a tub. You can put other stuff in there. You can store it if you want to just have one kennel open for the dog who needs it and store all the rest of them. Put Christmas lights in there for all I care. Or better yet, put supplies in there that you might need should you evacuate with your dogs, like collapsible bowls, like water bottles, like things you can put food in a Tupperware so you're ready to go, that kind of thing. So in an emergency, you know what's going on. Maybe a photocopy of all their vet papers and vaccine records could go in there. You know, take a picture on your phone of all that stuff too, because unvaccinated dogs have problems getting spaces when things go wrong. So you want to be able to prove in a second and not be trying to contact your vet who's probably also evacuated and not available. So that's all good stuff for safety tips. And while we're talking about safety, I guess I'd like to highlight there was a seminar given here in British Columbia by a rescue society called Alert, and they're a volunteer organization. And what they did was they ran a seminar for first responders. Vets and first responders took part in this. So all, you know, firemen, anyone who might be involved in a fire evacuation, because that's the area they're talking about, the Okanagan here in British Columbia. There's lots and lots of fires in the summer. And so, just like California and Washington State lately, this kind of thing happens here in the summer. So, what they were teaching them is how to evacuate a horse, a 2,000-pound animal, how to do it, how to airlift, how to land them, how to do it without hurting them, how to approach them, how to catch them, how to everything them. I wish I could have gone on that course. But what a great thing to be doing. And, you know, kudos to all the people who participated in that. All right, we're going to take a break. And, well, one more rescue story. In Port Alberni, off the coast of British Columbia, off the coast of Vancouver Island, so on the Pacific Ocean, there was a rescue where a man and his dog got trapped, and North Shore Rescue from Vancouver went over there, and they rescued the man, but they couldn't find the dog. So the next day, after the Alberni squad rescued the man, they went back and with a collar and some treats, and they went back to the last place the man had been, and they just waited patiently, and of course, the dog came back. So Izzy the dog, the border collie, is back with his owner safe and sound, although both of them had a very harrowing experience. When you're hiking, keep your dog on leash, right? You don't want him. People will throw balls over cliffs and the dog will dive after it. Or they see a squirrel and they don't realize that there's a cliff there. Or they get spooked by a bear and they run the wrong way and, you know, bring the bear back to you. There's lots of reasons why you want your dog on leash when you're hiking in the woods. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and I'm gonna end the show with the celebrity stuff, so you gotta hang in there. You want to hear about Nicole Richie, Matt Damon, and my favorite, Carol Burnett. Yes, what do they all have in common? Well, they're all going to be talked about on Animal Party Pet Life Radio in the last segment today. But right now, I want to give you some training information, because everybody wants my training information. I get emails all the time and questions all the time. If you want to ask me your question and you'd like me to answer it on the air, or you'd like me to bring an expert on to answer it because it's a really tough question I can't answer, then I'll do that. So cats, dogs, other animals too, but mostly cats, dogs, anything you want to know about why they do what they do, or how you can teach them not to, or how you can redirect them, or anything at all about cats and dogs, just ask me, Deb, D-E-B, at PetLifeRadio.com. And once you hear my training tips today, if you're looking for more, you can always go to my YouTube channel, Deb Wolf Pet Expert. And when I first started it, I put up a whole bunch of training videos, all the stuff you guys need. Come, sit, stay, heal, quiet, off, fetch, games, all of that. And I demonstrated with naughty dogs, visiting dogs at my boarding kennel, not ringers, not my number one blue heeler or my smartest standard poodle who do everything I tell them. No, 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 no. You get to see dogs who haven't even learned how to learn yet. Dogs who aren't even paying attention yet. Dogs who are stuck in their bad habits. Dog who just licorice, he just won't drop that ball. I mean, or a basset hound who every time he smells food starts howling. You could see all the characters and see how I work with them and see them become good, quiet, well-behaved dogs. You can see the coyote cross dog who's terribly afraid. Yes. And I do a whole segment on body language. And you watch. It's so amazing to see. When I close my eyes and do the moves I describe, the dog comes over. And when I stand up and act like we normally do, the dog runs away. And I can show you exactly how to coax an animal who's afraid. So before we get to the celebrities in the last segment and all that, I guess I should talk about coyotes. First of all, in South Vancouver, there's been an attack on a woman. She was out walking her little dog and they were surrounding her. She picked up the little dog and the coyotes bit her. And so she had two small dogs, actually. And the dog is okay. He survived, had to go to the vet. She's okay. The elderly woman is okay. She fought them, literally fought them. And there was a swarm of them on a baseball pitch as well. And then they interviewed a bunch of people, and some of them were saying that the coyotes seem to travel in threes. Now, I'm not sure that's correct. I think you only see three. I think they allow you to see three. There's three that surround your pet or surround you, but there's more there. So really, really, really do not underestimate the coyote or the coyote pack. It's something you must be aware of. And if people tell you, oh, there's coyotes here today and you've got a little dog, go somewhere else. That's my suggestion. Don't think, well, I don't see them. This person must be dramatic. No, 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 no. They're there. You just don't see them. And they should be praying at night. But they've gotten so used to our human handouts in the form of actual handouts, when people are so silly that they'll toss them an apple core or toss them the end of a sandwich or something like that. And that just trains them to try to get food off people any way they can, which is usually intimidation. So we want not to do that. Do not feed coyotes. If you're eating, you know, pack in, pack out, don't think, well, this is biodegradable. I'll leave the crust of my peanut butter sandwich here. A bird will get it. No, 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 no. You're drawing rats and coyotes when you do that. If you really want to feed the birds, go where the birds are and toss it to the birds. Then they'll eat it. All right. And bird advocates would say, don't toss bread to birds. They would say, toss grain to birds. Birds can't handle processed food. So that's another thing to remember. Maybe just pack in and pack out is the best way to go. And okay, so one more wild thing news. I was going to tell you about the wolves. Their population, they tried to return them, and it worked out great. You know, you need wolves, because if you don't have wolves, you get other animals overpopulating the area, and then they have a decimating effect on vegetation. So you actually need wolves. But they put a whole bunch of wolves in the U.S., and then they sold 10 to Colorado, and the numbers aren't stable. So they think they're being poached. So I just want to tell you, if you think it's cool to kill a wolf because then you'll have more deer to eat, it's a bad idea long term. You're going to devastate the vegetation. And it's just not the way to go. We need the wolves. So leave the wolves alone, says Deborah Wolf. All right, everybody. We are going to do, let's see, one training comment. So I noticed the other day, somebody that I know calling their dog, and they were using all the wrong words. So when they wanted the dog to get off of them, they said down. And that particular dog doesn't know that command. They know lie down. So the dog didn't understand, right? The dog's trained with off. And then the person went to the front door and said, come on, come on, meaning stop bothering me at the front door, get back. But of course, they were saying, come, come, come at the front door. So the dog was bothering them more. And then, oddly enough, this person at the same doorway wanted them to stay, but said, go. Because he said, go away, go away, go away. But now they're hearing go, come and go at the front door, which is what they want to do. They want to come and go with you. You're going out the door. They want to join you. So you got to be really careful of your words. It's really easy to say these things and not think, okay, the dog is very literal. If you're standing at the door and you don't want him with you, you say, you're staying here. Get back. Stay. If you want him to come with you, you say, come on, let's go. Right? But you can't say, come on, let's go when you want him to stay, or you're just going to confuse your dog. So be clear with your words. And the other thing is, they know a lot more words than you think. You can speak full sentences to a dog, especially the sentences you do over and over, like, would you like to have dinner? Would you like to go for a walk? Should we go on a car ride? Oh, look at your muddy feet. Stop, sit down. You know, all these things that you're repeating over and over, the dog will get used to and know the phrase. So that's another thing to just keep in mind. You don't have to dumb everything down for dogs, but you do have to be clear in your communication. All right, so I'm going to go to one more break and we're going to come back and talk about all those celebrities. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. An extra howl for all you people who do like coyotes. Actually, I've seen 2 in the last week. Both times I was driving, not so late at night, supper time-ish. So it's still a lot of light out here in Vancouver, where we live, where Camp Good Dog is. We have really short daylight in the winter and really long days in the summer. So it was pretty light out, and I saw one dart across the road both times. Once was it was a tall, what I believe to be a juvenile male, but very tall. And the other time it was probably a young female. And it is the time of year where they're feeding pups and making pups and looking for pets like cats. Anything, any freebie you want to give them, they'll get. And just little reminders, if you live in a wilderness area, you can't put your garbage in the truck, even for one night. Or the crows and the ravens, the raccoons and the rats will find them. And we do have an epidemic of rats in North America right now, which leads into our first story. So I was looking at Nicole Richie doing an interview, and she was talking, first of all, I can't imagine being her. I can't imagine growing up with Lionel Richie as a dad. And like, for example, her first pet, guess who gave her her first pet? None other than the rock star Prince. I mean, seriously, that's awesome. But the thing is, Prince named the pet before she got it, and he called the pet, the dog, God. So that's a little weird. But anyway, so she had a dog named God, from Prince when she was growing up. But she also mentioned that when she was with Paris Hilton and they were besties and they were growing up, they had many pet rats, enough so that they could name each rat after one of the characters in the show 90210. Now, that's a very dated comment right there. You know it has to be true when you hear that. Rats with the names of all the characters in 90210. My little sister used to watch that show. I never got into it, but I do remember it was a thing. So, yeah. So, Nicole Richie, can't imagine her having rats. Apparently, she doesn't anymore. All right. Moving along to our next celebrity. I'm saving Carol Burnett for the end. She's my favorite. All right. Anybody who can do a Tarzan yell like that? And her show back in the day was so good. Carol Burnett and Friends, so good. Okay, so the next one I want to talk about is Matt Damon. So he has dogs and four dogs, actually. And but when he was in Costa Rica, he tells the story of how he was staying there for a month. And there was this cat living in a dumpster, a total jungle cat, a cat who could survive anywhere. And it was living in a dumpster. And so he started feeding it. And then he realized at the end of the month that they couldn't just leave this cat. It had become habituated to their feeding it. And that's true. When you go and you feed a stray animal and you get it so used to handouts, you really ruin it for its old life. You have to do something. Anyway, so they decided to take this cat home, toughest jungle cat ever. They take it home and he thinks, okay, well, it's a tough, wild, feral cat. I have a backyard in LA. It'll live in the backyard. Nope, never went into the backyard once, he says. But then it had a brain tumor, terrible brain tumor. So he rescues this cat and now he's in it for thousands of dollars, cancer treatments and one, and it testing and all this. And so finally he, you know, radiation, all these suggestions are made for this cat. And he goes to this vet in New York City who says, you know what? We could just pump them full of steroids and see what happens, because they didn't really think they would be able to cure the tumor or the cancer. So they pumped him full of steroids and the cat's still alive. He was supposed to have a few weeks, but this dumpster cat from Costa Rica, now living in New York City in a swanky Matt Damon apartment, is alive and well years later. And as Matt Damon describes it, because of the steroid treatments, it's a pumped up cat. So I think that's amusing, totally amusing and well done. Yeah. So 2.5 years have gone by and the cat's still doing great. And Matt Damon's, he's jacked, totally pumped. Okay. So the last story I want to tell you before I leave you today, and if you're looking to see dogs playing at Camp Good Dog, my boarding kennel, you can always go to Facebook and check them out. We have overrepresentation of adorable doodles and poodles because that's what I did breed for years. And they keep coming back to board when their owners go on holiday. But there's also a boxer and a border collie cross. And I'm trying to think of everybody who's there. A bunch of little dogs. Lots of little dogs this week coming up to Mother's Day. So that'll be good. But yeah, I want actually one thing about the boxer. The whole reason the boxer's here, and the boxer's pretty cool dude. His name's Chuck Norris. Yes. Yes, it is. And Chuck Norris, the boxer, actually pulled the cage off, pulled the bolts right out of the wall on his cage when he got excited to go for a walk yesterday while I was in the kennel doing something else. So I had to fix it. Chuck Norris. Chuck, of course he did. He's Chuck Norris. Anyway, the reason he's here, this boxer, is because his family planned this amazing trip and they booked all pet-friendly accommodations, everything like that. And then they found out that boxers aren't allowed to fly in summertime on commercial airlines. That's right. Neither are pugs. Any dog that looks like it ran into a wall, any dog with a squishy, squishy face, you know, that sort of stunted nose and muzzle, they have bronchial problems, they have breathing problems, and they're far more likely to die in air travel than any other dog. So in the summer, when it's hot, that makes it even more likely. And so the airlines have gotten smart about this and they won't take them. So you really have to think about it. If you have a pushed-in-face dog, what are you going to do when you travel in hot to hot places or at hot times of year? All right, so we're moving on to Carol Burnett. So Carol Burnett tells this story that's so awesome. She has a Bengal cat. Okay, well, they're special and everything because of their markings, and they're not as removed from the ancient primitive cat as our modern cats are, although many would argue cats aren't really very domesticated. But anyway, okay, so the Bengals, and they, she has this pet cat. She says she loves dogs, but right now she just has a cat. So this cat takes her phone off the hook when it wants to be fed. And she sees the red light, phone off the hook, goes to the food bowl. He's already there waiting and feeds him. Classic example of cat's intelligence. It has figured out exactly how to get her attention in such a unique, specific way. And it never fails, you know. It's amazing. Amazing that it did that. And it tells me that Carol Burnett still has a landline. Me too, Carol. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. It's been a great show. And I look forward to talking to you again next week. I'll be having some guests back on the show soon on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Until then, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.